Before John speaks, I got one thing I need to say. There are two types of people in this world. There are astronomers and there are astronauts. Astronomers watch the glory of God from the safety of a laboratory and through a telescope. Astronauts get in a rocket plane or a space shuttle and go see it for themselves. And this entire journey with John is watching him basically be an astronaut, not content to just stay around and talk about God's greatness or his goodness, but actually getting on a plane outside of his comfort zone and going to see it for himself. So I know a lot of you guys have been praying for him and supporting him and everything like that, and it's just amazing. So, John, welcome home.
Thanks, man.
Good to see you.
Thanks. I just wish I would have gotten a cool astronaut uniform to wear. That would have been kind of nice. So, good morning. How are you guys doing? So I've been gone for a couple weeks. What have you guys been up to? You've been busy? I've been doing this. Maybe. Right there. Got to do that this past week. That was, I'm going to tell you, this was the most amazing journey I've been on. And it's probably been some of the most shaping of my life. I had some serious highs. I had some serious lows. I laughed for hours. And honestly, there were times I feared for my life. I saw some of the most beautiful sights in God's creation, and I saw some of the saddest people that I've ever seen, and God did a number on me while I was gone. Now that I look back on the week, I can see how God's been calling me to this trip the whole time, and it's really interesting that that's the way this has gone. It's been kind of trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? It's interesting because before I left, Dave said, do you want to preach when you get back? And I said, sure, what are we talking about? And he said, we're talking about discerning God. And I was like, oh, that's a great one, because that's something I've had to do over the last year. I've had to figure out what exactly it is that God wants me to do, and exactly how does he want me to do it. So before we get going with anything else, why don't you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the scripture today and just kind of dig into this a little bit. God, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him here to this earth. God, your love never does fail. And it just goes on and on and on and on, and we're so thankful for that. And so today, God, we want to figure out how best to discern you, to understand what you are trying to say to us. So, Father, please speak to us today and teach us what we need to learn. We love you, God, and we pray this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, get into 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read the first six verses of that chapter. That's kind of the meat of what we're going to be talking about today, is that little section right there. Starts off and says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever God listens to, or whoever knows God, listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is something I hear a lot of people trying to figure out. What is God calling me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? So we're going to take some time today, and we're going to kind of try and figure this out. What is it that God's calling us to do? How does God speak to us? What does he do? Well, the first thing we need to understand is if we're going to know what God wants, we need to shut up and listen. When I first moved down here from Wisconsin, I'd been doing a youth ministry for 4 years, and I moved down here. And when we started Catalyst, there were no people. It was me, Dave and his family, Paul Ross, who didn't have a family at the time either, Adam Tipton and all 1,500 of his family. And we met in this Qdoba, and we started talking about what we're going to do. Well, shortly after, I had to find a job. I went from a salaried youth ministry position to a church that doesn't exist. Churches that don't exist don't pay money. So I was broke, so I had to get a job. I got a job at Starbucks. And while I was working at Starbucks, it didn't take long before they made me one of their main trainers, and I was training other people on how to do things throughout the store. And one of the things they always had me train people on was the bar. And so one day, they took this young lady that came in and said, we need you to train her to work the bar. So I started doing that, but she wouldn't stop talking. And she talked, and she talked. Why is green the main color of the logo? Why is espresso a certain kind of coffee, but coffee's different? What is this customer doing over here? It was just all these questions. They weren't necessarily bad questions. They were just not appropriate for that time. I'm trying to instruct her on what she's supposed to do, and she wouldn't shut up long enough to hear what I was telling her. And what ended up happening was we got done with the end of our day, and she didn't know what to do. And she's upset because she didn't know what to do when she got in her own way the whole time. How many of us are like that? God's saying, I got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got something for you. But we're busy telling him what we're doing. We're busy telling him what we like. We're busy telling him how it needs to be done. And we're not shutting up long enough for God to tell us. There's two barriers that get in the way from us being able to actually listen to God. And the very first barrier we're going to talk about is time. Time is a huge barrier for us because where you spend your time is where your heart is. Time is the one commodity that we have that you can't get back. Once it's gone, but it's also the one that we always choose where it goes. How many of us struggle with these things? I want to name a few things off. You don't have to raise your hands, but you can chuckle if it's you. How many of you have ever Netflix binged? I heard that one quick. Yeah, I actually heard a snort. You get home, you're tired, you put on a TV show, and you hit play. And Netflix has this amazing feature where when the show's over, it just keeps going to the next one and the next one. Before too long, you've watched seven seasons of some ridiculous soap opera from 1978, you know, and you've watched this entire thing. How many of you guys are addicted to social media? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You get on there and you find yourself an hour later, you just read everybody's stories. You read 15 stories about gun control. You read about how Trump is the Antichrist and everybody's showing you what they ate for dinner last night. That's what you did for the last hour of your life. How many of us have done that? And how about video games? I would say this is about kids, but that's not about, I know so many adults now, you'll get into a video game, you'll play it for 3 hours, realize it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and be like, I gotta go to bed, I gotta work in the morning. We'll just spend hours and hours on this. This last one I'm going to say could get me in trouble, but I've got to say it. Causes. We've got Netflix binging, social media, video games, causes. Follow me when I'm saying this. When I get on Facebook, I see so many good Christian people who post article after article about gun control policies, stuff about abortion clinics, and stories about homosexual marriage. Now, let me say something. I am a licensed concealed carry person. I carry every day. I think abortion is the most heinous of things that a human being can do, and I believe the sanctity of marriage is between a man and a woman. But I'm only saying that to say that I'm more upset about the fact that millions of people this year are going to die and go to hell with no hope of an eternity with God. I would hope as Christians we would see less of those articles and more articles about the fact that there are lost people needing Jesus. Those causes are good. Don't get me wrong, those causes are good. But if that's our focus, I think we need to take a step back, and I think we need to reevaluate where we're coming from. Because if that's our sole focus, guess what? We just allowed a cause to get in the way of God's call in our life. And that can happen so many times. And I want you to write this down. This is something I actually want you to write down. It's this. Satan loves it when Christians take on important causes with great fervor and never, ever tell their neighbor about Jesus. Satan loves it. When he gets you so distracted with causes and political garbage and social justice and all, when he gets you so distracted with that stuff that you don't even focus on the fact there are people next door to you that don't know Jesus and need to, he's rejoicing. Satan's like, I got him. Satan's a deceiver, and he'll use any and every deception he has to make you think that you're doing what's right, but all the while, we miss the bigger picture. Last year, our staff went on a one-day training to Lexington, and we learned about discipleship. And as the session was starting, this Canadian minister came up and talked to us. And the first thing he said was, all the stuff that you guys are going through right now, we've already gone through and we lost. And then what he said next blew my mind. He goes, and you know what? It wasn't that bad. He said, because now we're not focused on causes, we're not focused on politics, we're focused on Jesus again. We can't win those battles, they've already been lost. So where's our focus now? Our focus is on Jesus. Now understand, before I go any further, I'm not saying causes are bad, but when causes get in the way of Jesus, take a step back for a second and think, because that cause is getting too important. The truth is, until we get past our political, social justice, and personal rants, we can't hear what God is telling us, because usually that's followed by anger, and anger makes it very difficult to listen. The first thing that's a barrier is time. The second barrier is fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." When Darren Wendell met with me last June and asked me to do this Mount Kilimanjaro climb thing, I looked at him and kind of smiled, and I said, "Darren, fat men don't climb mountains." Darren looks at me, and he, in very dead serious, looks me straight in the eye and goes, "Then stop being fat." I think everybody needs a good friend like that. We all need friends who are really honest with us, people who don't hold back. Well, after hearing Darren talk, I thought he was a moron. I was like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll go to the office. I'm going to talk to Dave, and he's going to talk some sense into me and tell me that's ignorant. You're not going to be able to do that. So I walk up to Dave's office. I walk in there, tell him the whole story. There's this mountain climb. They're raising money to build clean wells in Africa. And, you know, the people come to Christ because of this. And tell him the whole thing. I said, but they want me to climb Kilimanjaro. And I'm expecting Dave to go, "John, there's no way you could pull that off." But Dave looks me straight in the eyes and goes, "You need to do this." So now I'm thinking I've got two crazy friends. Two people I had no clue what they're talking about. So I'm like, okay, so this is I'm going to go home and talk to my wife. Surely my wife is the only sane person around. Rhea's going to look me in the eye and she's going to be like, "These people are idiots. There's no way you're doing this." So I sit down with Rhea at dinner and we're talking. I said, "So I met with Darren Wendell today," and then told her the story. And I get done. She just looks me in the eye and goes, "You need to do this." I'm like, my wife has just turned on me. You know, it was one of these things where I couldn't believe that everybody could not understand the fact that I'm fat and fat people don't climb mountains. But what it came down to, I was afraid. I was afraid because I was a fat man who could not climb a mountain. I'm still not skinny, but I don't look like that guy. That was last year at this time. And when you look like that, you don't climb mountains. You just don't. And I was terrified. I was scared. I was crippled by it. Because the truth is, fear can stop you in your tracks. It can paralyze you, and it can make you become like a brick wall that you just can't get through. And that's where I was. But I wasn't just afraid of the weight. I wasn't just afraid of being fat. I was afraid of the fact I had to raise $6,000 to build a well, and if I didn't raise that money, they're taking it out of my bank account. I was terrified. I could put my family under. And I was scared. I was just terrified. I'm going to tell you, if there's something that can block you from hearing God's will, it's fear. When God says, "I want you to do this," and you're like, "That's too scary. I can't do it." Be careful not to let fear block you. If we're going to discern God, we've got to shut up and listen. But we've also got work to do. We've got to get work done. If God is calling you to do something, then guess what you have to do? Something. You got to do something. God doesn't call you to do something then say, "Just sit there." That's not how it works. God calls you to do something because he wants you to work. One of the biggest fears about getting ready for this climb was the fact that I had some serious, serious weight to lose. I had to put in some serious work, and following Christ takes discipline. So I had to put some serious discipline in. You know, there's some great people in the history of the church, and they knew what it was like to work. John Wesley traveled generally on horseback, preaching 2 or 3 times each day. They say that he rode 250,000 miles, gave away 30,000 pounds money, and preached more than 40,000 sermons. John Wesley knew how to work. Mother Teresa left her home at the age of 18 and worked tirelessly with the poor, the naked, the homeless, the crippled, the blind, the lepers, all those people who feel unwanted, unloved, uncared for throughout society, people that have become a burden to society and are shunned by everyone, and she did that until the day she died at the age of 87. Almost 70 years, she worked tirelessly. The Apostle Paul, he took the work of the gospel all throughout the Middle East and Asia, in the Middle East and into Europe. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, and eventually he was killed. He was imprisoned. He wrote most of what we know as the New Testament, only to be beheaded for the work he was doing. See, the great ones know what work is. They don't become great by sitting on their backsides. They do something. You know, my weight loss and training doesn't seem that big of a deal when I think about those people, when I think about what they did. As a matter of fact, it makes me think, what am I supposed to be doing next? And that should always be our thought. What, God, what do you want me to do? Not, God, what do you want me to accomplish? Because you can't accomplish if you don't do. And so we've got to work. You know, if we're going to discern God, we've got to shut up and listen. We got to be ready to work. And the one that everybody hates, we got to be patient. We've got to be patient. And the reason I say that is because God does things in his time, not ours. That doesn't always go with our plans. In Ecclesiastes 7:8, it says, "The end of a matter is better than the beginning, and patience is better than pride." 50 pounds didn't come off of me in 3 weeks. Training your body to climb a mountain won't happen overnight. And in most cases, God's call in our lives is going to take some time. It's going to take time for us to get here. I've talked to Dave several times, and he said he was always called to plant a church. God did not let him do it right out of college. Did not let him do it right out of seminary. He had to wait. God had to prepare him. God had to get him ready, and he had to do the work along the way. When you hear that someone is climbing a mountain, you kind of assume what it's going to look like. You'd think it would look like this right here. We got this cliff that we're on here. What you're about to see, this guy who's in the funky hat, that's Raymond. He's our main guide. He's 6'6". You have to stand on a rock that's about this wide with one foot. Hold on above. You're going to see my hands are shaking like a leaf. And you have to step across this area right here. I have midget legs, so that's not easy. And that's about it. Yeah, I'm T-Rex arms. And that drops about 20 feet. And so he grabs my hand, and I make it. But that was one of our days. It was all climbing like that. And you would think, you're climbing a mountain, it's always going to look like that, right? Actually, no. Most days it looked like this. That's how fast we walked 90% of the time we were on the mountain. They have a saying on the mountain. It's pole, pole. Pole, pole means slow, slow. Because as you increase in your altitude, you decrease in the oxygen. So as we were climbing, it became harder and harder to breathe. So if we were to go too fast, we'd probably pass out from a lack of oxygen. So we walked like this around 4,000 feet up every single day. You want to talk about tirelessly walking and having to be patient to get to the top of a mountain. That day was rough, but Summit Day was the most difficult one we had. Because Summit Day looked like this. Pitch black. We started at 12:30 in the morning. And we walked even slower that day than we had any other day. And the elevation grade was the highest we had the whole time. We had to do that for 7 hours. You got to be patient. Because to get to the top of the mountain, it's not always going to be fast. Sometimes it's going to be really slow. And sometimes it's going to take time, and you've just got to keep plugging along. And that's what we had to do there. You know, on our final summit, we started at 12:30. We climbed. We walked that pace for what seemed like an eternity. But it was worth it. The wait was worth it. Being patient was worth it because we got here. Our entire group made it to the top of that mountain. There were 16 people. Our guides told us that never happens with groups that large. This lady, let me see, the lady over here in the blue jacket on the very far side, 73 years old with a broken elbow. Don't tell me you can't do things. Don't tell me God can't do something with you. He took a 73-year-old woman with a broken elbow and got her to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest freestanding mountain in the world. But it took time, and it took work. It took a lot longer for her than it did for the others, because she only had use of one arm the entire time. So when we were trying to climb, she would have two porters with her helping her to get over certain little areas and climb up certain rocks because she could not do it easily. Plus, when you get to the top, you can also do this. Had to throw that in there. I had to throw it in there. I just had to throw the picture in there, okay? Had to throw it in there. I had to get patient to get to that point. Plus, the guy, the third one over, is from Michigan. That made that so sweet. So sweet. But you got to be patient. You've got to be patient. It does not happen quickly. Climbing that mountain took 7 days. 7 days. Because we had to walk slow. We had to take our time. And we had to do it right. And sometimes when God calls us, it's not going to be fast. He's going to take his time. He's going to make it slow and plodding. But he's going to do it right because he's God. If we're going to discern God, we got to shut up and listen. We got to do the work. We got to be patient. But we've also got to let God do his part. We've got to let God do his part. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." One of the biggest fears I had going into this climb was that I needed to raise $6,000 to build a well. And if I didn't raise the money, it was coming out of my bank account, like I told you earlier. The other thing was I also needed to raise money just so I could do the climb, because Rhea and I don't make a lot of money. So it was one of these things of we're going to have to trust family and friends to help fund this so that I could even do this. And when all things were said, when the equipment costs, the plane tickets, the actual climb, food, all the things that took into place to make this happen, the total number was like $14,000. $14,000. And I said, "God, I can afford $2,000. That's about all we've got. All we've got is about $2,000. I don't know how we're going to make this happen." I said, "God, I'll do my part, but you're going to have to do your part." And so, check this out. He did. If you look at the totals on those, that is $12,605. Funny. I needed about $14,000, and I'm paying two. Are you picking up on this? God did his part. So when I got to Africa, I knew it was time to do my part because he did his. On the flip side of this, though, guys, I'm going to tell you something. And this is a hard lesson for a lot of us because it happens often. We think we know what God's will is. We think we're listening. We do the work. We're patient. But God never partners with us. If God's not partnering with us and doing his part, chances are you're not following the will of God. And that's something to remember. Because if God's not doing his part, there's a good chance you misheard something or you just really wanted to hear something. And I can tell you this because when I was a senior in college, I decided I was going to be a rock and roll bass player. I was going to travel the world. We're going to be the hottest Christian band in the world. Fishhook. We were awesome. Yeah. And it was a ministry because it was Christian music, so it's a ministry. And even though I went to 4 years of college, over six, and was able to get my degree in ministry and I was able to go out and make it happen, I want to be a bass player. I had the most miserable time of my life. God never partnered with me over that entire year. I was constantly was infighting in our band, constantly frustrated with life. It seemed like my money never came together. Things just never worked out. So finally I said, "Okay, God, I give up. I'll be a youth minister." The moment I quit, I said I was going to be a youth minister, started sending out applications and resumes. I said, "I'll be done at the end of the year. January, I'll start doing youth ministry." The moment I did that, the whole band started getting along. Weird little sums of money started popping up, and things started coming together. Now, I'm not saying God's going to punish you if you don't follow him, but he's not going to partner with you if you don't follow him. So make sure when you're trying to discern what God's telling you, you're actually discerning what God is telling you and not your own personal desires. When I started this whole thing, guys, I'd hiked twice in my life. Two times, real hikes, twice. And one was on a first date, and we went 12 miles by accident, and that almost blew up the whole relationship. So, just saying. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about equipment. I didn't know anything about what you had to wear. I didn't know how camping worked. I didn't know any of this stuff. And so I asked a lot of dumb questions. I had to learn a lot. I did a lot of reading, a lot of studying, annoyed my wife to death with all the stuff I was trying to figure out. But I got there. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God is going to call you something you've never done. He's going to call you to something you're not comfortable doing and you know nothing about. He's not always going to call you to what you enjoy. He's not always going to call you to your personal desires. And I'm so thankful he did, because now I'm addicted to hiking. As a matter of fact, I can't wait till this week to get back out on a trail somewhere and get hiking, because I've fallen in love with something I didn't know I'd fall in love with, because God knew better than I did. So be sure that we're listening to him. Don't try to tell God what your calling is, because he may not help you out. Now, to discern God, we said you got to shut up and listen. You got to do the work. You got to be patient. Let God do his part. And then when all is said and done, we get to celebrate. I'm going to go ahead and call the band back up right now. The summit wasn't where our celebration happened. I mean, we got to take the really cool pictures. Of course, OHIO made it, which is happy for me. But, we got to celebrate a little up there, but the real celebration didn't happen until we got to the bottom of the mountain. The porters that had been up there with us the whole time had prepared a feast for us. They had a guy who was a young man there who was playing guitar and was serenading us as we were enjoying this spoils of our trip. And finally, we got to do this. Check this out. We just danced like maniacs for like 20 minutes. And you can see that they're all singing and stuff. If you want to turn this up real quick, just turn the volume up so you can hear these guys. Every single one of those guys is singing. We're dancing. Everybody's going crazy. I don't dance, so I look like a moron. And I didn't care. We just had a literal mountaintop experience. And everybody was celebrating. Everybody was celebrating. Because there's no greater feeling than being called to God, by God, to do a task, and then following it through to its completion. Have you guys ever won someone to Christ? If you have, celebrate it. You know, what did it feel like when they were baptized into Christ? Have you ever been a part of a mission trip with specific tasks that had to be getting done, and you got them done? What did that feel like? Celebrate it. Have you sacrificed your own needs to help meet the needs of others? Celebrate that. It's infectious. It's exciting, and it's what makes us want to do it again. God can do great things through us, but it's our job to discern what those great things are and then be faithful to see it through. It's so important we understand God has a call for each of us. God has a design for each of us. He has something for us. We just got to get out of the way. We serve an amazing God, absolutely amazing God. And right now, we're going to join together and we're going to worship our God, the mighty fortress, our deliverer, who calls us to do great things, who calls us to do mighty things that we never thought we'd be capable of. So why don't you stand with us right now as we get ready to sing? And let's worship our God together.